the Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back, everybody, to Arthropod, your favorite entomology podcast. If it is not your favorite, well, it should be. And today, we are actually doing the Periodical Cicada Quiz Bowl. I am your host, Jody Green, at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And my competitors against each other are going to introduce themselves right now.
I'm challenger number one, Dr. Jonathan Larson of the University of Kentucky.
And I'm challenger number two, Michael Scavarla of Penn State University.
So I do want to say that neither of my co-hosts have any idea what I have been doing or planning for them. So surprise. There is an outline for the show, but we're kind of ruining that because that might ruin my quiz bowl. So I used an app on the iPad called Kahoot. And any elementary school students probably know about this because my 11-year-old taught me how to do it. This app will keep track of the score. You will be scored on how quickly you answer them and how correct. I got to design the quiz because I am the sad co-host that will not be experiencing the periodical cicadas. I have some serious FOMO, which is fear of missing out. And I really do want to drive out at this. Like, I mean, I'm not driving to Tennessee. I know I'm watching. I see they've emerged in some places. I will not show up at your doorstep, either of you two.
Oh, I would welcome you. That would be Billy. So fun.
They showed up.
Did you have some?
As of this recording, there were about 9 hours ago, I think, or 12 hours ago, maybe, I saw something on Reddit. Some people in Louisville posted a sighting, and that was the first report that I have received so far this year. So in Kentucky, as of Monday, May 10th, it seems like the emergence has begun.
Oh, that's very exciting.
I can hardly even do the show. But
I saw there were some down in Georgia that were starting to come out, but it's like 50 degrees here in the north, you know, the northeast, so they're not here yet.
Okay, I'm just going to comment.
Okay, let's go.
Because like every time like in my calendar, even if I have like a day, I'm like, how far do I have to drive? How many hours? Can I do this and get back? You know, like I'm just like, if they show up, can I do this? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to play this live.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I was checking the Cicada Safari app. There are emergences in Washington, D.C., so.
In Maryland.
In Maryland.
Okay, that's too far. I'm not going to make it back in time.
Oh, so do I need to download and install Kahoot?
Nope. You just go to Kahoot it.
Okay.
We're going to play.
Kahoot.it.
Live. Okay.
Oh,
do you have it?
Oh boy.
Player versus player.
That is your game pin, people.
Nickname, Mike, I guess. I'm in. Here we go.
Michael versus Magic Cicada.
Ready? Oh, you picked a better nickname than me. What was I thinking? Okay, getting ready. Here we go.
Periodical Cicadas, Brood 10.
Okay, it says loading.
Cicada Thunderdome.
Okay, so now you have to look up. True or false? Okay. Cicadas do not have ears because their sounds would make them lose the ability to hear.
Oh, no.
True or false? Ooh, you guys both guessed correctly. It was false.
So it's not a guess if we're right.
True. Sorry.
Oh, man. I better not lose this because I'm going to lose all my entomology cred. We better be tied point for point by the time this is done.
Magic Cicada, 875. Michael, 864. That means Jonathan was a little bit faster than you. Next question.
I'm real stressed out now.
What kind of legs do cicada have? Oh, cicada nymphs have.
I'm glad you said nymphs because I was thinking.
Boss Oreo.
Oh, I hit the wrong one. That's what I get for not paying close enough attention. I am a cicada, so it's not like I have reading comprehension.
It's true. It's true.
I almost went with cursorial as well.
I know,
because
my bad.
I thought I didn't read nymph and I read adult.
Okay. So we will see. That put Michael in the lead.
Yeah, it's probably the deciding question because I don't read well.
No, okay. That's okay, because well there's this follow-up question. Ready?
Okay, let's go.
What kind of legs do adult cicadas have?
Oh, yeah,
have?
There we go.
Cursorial. What?
I'm sorry. I'll take it more seriously.
Okay, so Jonathan seems to be throwing the game because he's so nervous.
I'm not nervous. Mike was nervous.
So now Mike has 27, 38.
He's got a hot streak.
Yeah. And Jonathan, okay. 875.
Magic cicada.
Magic cicada. Jonathan, come on.
John, you don't have to throw this to
take
save
this
my entomology.
There's 26 questions. What is cicada nymphs feed on underground?
Oh gosh, is it Phloem's xylem?
Nutrient poor xylem, nutrient rich phloem, small soil invertebrates, or decaying organic matter. Nutrient poor xylem. Oh, let's see.
Incorrect.
Mike's on the streak. Are you even taking this seriously, Magic Cicada?
I can't read. I'm just a cicada nymph.
For our listeners, Mike Scarola is kicking Magic Cicada's butt. Fifth question. What is true of male cicada's body? Do they have a pointed abdomen? Do they lack mouth parts? Do they have a large...
Oh, no. I got it incorrect.
Oh.
Aw, snap. I freaked out. This is so hard.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited that you said that. That's the biggest compliment to myself.
If it wasn't for the time factor, I'd probably get it. But it's like, oh gosh, what is it? What is it? What is it? I better pick an answer, and then I freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
So what is the answer, Jody? What was the male? What do males have?
Okay, so they have a hollow air chamber in their body.
Help make that sound get real loud.
Rah!
That one.
Yes. Yes. I want to see who ultimately is the champion here. Michael?
Magic Cicada is nipping at my heels.
Or Magic Cicada.
It's hard to do with a piercing, sucking mouth part.
What is true of a female cicada body? Same answer. Good job. So the female cicada has a pointed abdomen because that's her ovipositor. Anyone have anything else to say about that?
Nope.
Let's see what the score is. Michael's still in the lead.
Yeah, he's
don't worry, Magic Cicada, you have time to make this up. We still have 20 questions left. Question 7, it's a true or false. The ovipositor of the female cicada is reinforced with metals. What is this? What is that shaking of your head, Jonathan?
I don't know. I was psyching myself up.
Okay. Into the music.
Better. You guys are doing better. Well, Michael is anyway. 5,325 to 3,423. And yes, they are weird numbers, but I'm not doing the scoring, so that's good. I don't have to do any math. The next question, question 8. Female cicada inserts her eggs in the new woody growth of trees is correct. And both of our challengers got that.
Michael is making a comeback with 3 in a row, it says.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm on fire.
It's a streak. Oh, yeah. Question 9. What is the scientific name of the fungal infection of the cicada's butt? First described by Benjamin Banneker.
Oh, no, that one. Oh, I got it right.
Good job. Mazospora cicadina. Can I ask if you guys are enjoying this at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And if any of the listeners want to play this game or quiz anyone, it is going to be a public game on Kahoot.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah.
And if you listen to the questions and remember the answers,
yeah,
you will be able to beat your friends.
We should sell it to pubs.
Pubs, we've invented this quiz game you might like.
Hey, it's a good quiz game.
Okay, Michael is still in the lead. Ready? Question 10. How many times does a cicada nymph shed its exoskeleton while living underground? Four molts. Ooh, one person did not get it right.
I got it incorrect.
I found my notes.
Oh, John's coming up. I'm only a 1,000 points ahead of him.
I have 6 correct answers in a row.
Good job.
That's pretty good for a cicada that has really bad eyesight.
That is really good. Okay, I found my notes.
I've lived underground for the last 17 years. I don't have a lot of life experience.
11. The soil temperature needs to be how high to stimulate cicada emergence? You guys are on top of that one. 64 degrees. Yeah, I figured you guys would be really high on your knowledge because you are interviewed all the time about cicadas because you're so lucky and they're coming out.
That's true. Right? We are being interviewed a lot about it, but nobody's asked me about metals in their butt or anything like that so far.
That's true. I've not gotten that question yet. Yeah.
Well, I do want to say that I read this book, Periodical Cicadas, The Brood 10 Edition by Jane Kritzky.
Shout out to Dr. Kritzky.
Yes. So we're kind of about 8,000 for Michael, almost 7,000 for Magicicada.
Nice.
Next question. 17-year cicadas are in their 5th and final instar by what year of life?
10. I went off the streak.
That was a pure guess on my part.
Okay, so the answer was 13.
That makes sense when you think about it.
I guess that because they can emerge early.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, then they better be
prepped.
Yeah, that's cool.
That they're ready, right? Okay.
I didn't know. Hey, they hang out for 4 more years while they're mature and ready.
So are you learning things from this quiz?
Yeah. Knowledge gained.
13. Marlette created the brood naming system of periodical cicadas. How many did he originally identify in 1893? 16.
I was incorrect.
Guys.
It says I got it wrong.
Me too. How many was it? I guess 30.
I guess 30 as well.
Oh, I thought you both got it. Oh, it was 16. Oh, then you guys are totally wrong. Yeah, it was 16 that was established. sorry, I don't know.
Wait, I thought he hypothesized that there were 30, though, right? Like 17, 17s, and 13, 13s, right, Mike?
No, he has enough in the numbering system for 30.
Right.
But there were 16.
That he actually found himself.
I was down
well,
with John.
Well, that were established right. Distinct broods.
I see our mistake.
Yeah.
But we're not arguing with you.
Yeah, but his numbering system has enough for 30.
Right.
Okay, ready for the next one? How many periodical cicada breeds are there now?
15.
15, correct. Do you know which one went extinct?
Brood 23, 24.
11. Oh, wait, I hope that wasn't a question in here. Okay, so we're
that's actually the next question.
Yeah, no, it's not. Question number 15. How many species of 17-year cicadas are there? Wow, you guys were quick. Is that often a question?
Like in interviews and stuff?
Yeah.
I get more about like what is a cicada, less about how many different, like when I say there are 3 species of 17-year Magicicadas, that's cool. Kind of
mind-blowing. I usually put it in there, but not because people ask.
Mike has almost 11,000 points, Magicicada just under 9,000. Question number 16. 17-year cicadas that are the same size, how are they distinguished from each other? Correct. By their mating call.
Make some cool different noises.
Right. Michael is on a streak. 3 in a row.
Clawing onto this.
I also have 3 in a row.
Do you have three in a
just
row?
Just to be clear,
we both missed the same one.
Right.
Okay. Ready? 17 is which statement is true? Some broods overlap geographically. Some individuals emerge 4 years early. 13 and 17 years cicadas could emerge at the same time. And you both got it correct. All of the above.
You really missed out on your life calling as like an SAT question writer.
Is that what SATs are like? I never took a standardized test.
Oh, man. Yeah. You come from a more advanced nation. So.
Thanks. Still time.
He's within 200 points of me.
Okay. I'm a straggler, imagine cicada.
18. Periodical cicadas occur only in the eastern United States. True or false? True. And I probably ruined that by saying that we just don't get enough out here.
No, that's okay.
But we do. We do get some. Just
imagine cicadas on fire. 5 correct.
You guys are doing well. Okay, so we're on question number 19. Ready?
Go.
Okay.
Do it.
Which states have never experienced an emergence of brood 10?
Oh, snap.
Ever, like in history. Wisconsin, Alabama, Iowa, or Delaware? So they both got it wrong. I'm pretty excited about that because in this book, the Periodical Cicada, the Brood 10 edition, it has all the historical data, like Alabama, and it's got like the counties and the cities. It's really cool. So, yeah. So I don't
remember. But they've never been to Iowa.
They've never been to Iowa. And that's why I can't just drive to Iowa and see them like next week, because that would be too easy. But where they're expected to emerge this year, Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York in some places, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and DC. So they no longer are seen in Alabama, Massachusetts, Vermont, or Wisconsin, but they were there at some point. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Question number 20.
Bring it on.
Oh, now you're getting excited. Brood 10 emergence in 2021 will be the blank time that it has emerged since the first historical record for this brood.
Oh no, this is a lot of math.
Okay, who got it right? One person got it right, one person got it wrong.
Michael got it right. I thought it was going to be like cutesy that it would be 17 times.
No, it's 19th time since the first report was in 1715 by Reverend Andreas Sandel in Philadelphia. And it was in his journal. You need to see who
bugs everywhere.
Yeah, imagine what you would write in your journal. Yeah, Michael's still winning. Okay, we'll go on to the next question, 21.
He's upset that it's not like a race to the finish.
What U.S. entomologist was a connoisseur of cicadas as food? I tried to make that one easy.
C.V. Riley, one of my favorite entomologists.
C.V. Riley, fried locusts for breakfast. And there's a whole excerpt on like eating cicadas. So
fun. I'm going to have to go get me a 5-gallon bucket of them.
If for any reason I get to see them, I would eat one.
Just to be clear, they are a heavy metal accumulator, so I don't know if I'd eat 5 gallons of them, Mike.
I'd eat one. Maybe
do more. A pizza topping. Go yeah. Get them land shrimp.
Okay, what am I doing? Okay, next question. 22.
True or false?
In 2004, there were reports of blue-eyed brood 10 cicadas. True or false? True. Does anyone know the story about that?
No, I just know it's really rare genetics.
Okay, well, then that's pretty much the answer. But there were, it's like some dilution gene. It happens in less than 1% of periodical cicadas. So they usually have red eyes, but these ones show up like silvery blue eyes. Back in 2004, there was like this rumor going around that John Hopkins University was offering like $100 or whatever for them. But that part was false.
Apparently here at Kentucky in 2004, there was a rumor that the Department of Entomology at the university was offering a $50 bounty for albino cicadas. So there were lots of people finding newly molted ones, and they were like, hey, because they have their red eyes, I guess, still. Yeah.
Well, the nymphs have the red eyes too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
16,000 for Michael and 13,000 for Magisticata.
This is high point game. Like, I was expecting just like, he's got 10, I've got 5.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's how it would be if I was keeping score, but then I would have to do like, you know.
Math?
I don't know. I would have to do math and keep up with you guys, and like, I could be bribed, but the Kahoot game is keeping score.
It's artificial intelligence, impartial.
It gives you points based on how quickly you answer it too. So you get more if you're faster. Right.
And that's why there are those weird numbers. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Question 23. Oh, we're winding down here. Which
the home stretch,
which presidents were elected during an emergence of Brood 10?
I have no idea.
Good job. All the above. Thomas Jefferson in the year 1800, Franklin Roosevelt in 1936, and George W. Bush in 2004. And also, there was actually a fourth one, Ulysses S. Grant in 1868, but I had to do the all the above because I wanted you to know about the presidents. What do you think of that, guys?
That's cool.
I remember in 2004, it was the election year. Like, yeah, it was George Bush combating with Periodical Cicada for headlines that summer.
Yeah. Well, and here's a fun fact that I read in the book, that John Kerry was campaigning against President Bush. There was like his campaign in Ohio mentioned like, maybe given another 17 years, President Bush can create a job in Ohio. So the cicada was actually brought into politics. Question 24, who wrote a song about cicadas and what was the title? Oh, actually, no, I didn't do the title. That's too hard. Good job. Bob Dylan wrote a song called The Day of the Locusts, but this was about the cicadas. And he.
Day of the Locusts. I like it.
Sing it.
I don't know the song. I just know how Bob Dylan sounds.
Well, he was receiving an honorary degree from Princeton University in New Jersey in 1970, and the cicadas were screaming, and that inspired him to write the song.
I mean, that's a pretty good story.
Wow. 18,000 for Michael and 15,000 for Magisticata. There's a professor, Joseph Leidy, from Philadelphia, described the fungal spores that attacked cicadas. What else is he famous for?
Both of us are wrong because we both thought he was a criminal.
I really wanted that to be the case.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I just made that one up. He was a paleontologist.
That's like criminal. That's like a criminal. Like, no, you steal from the ground.
He named the first dinosaur fossils in the United States.
Huh. Oh, I feel bad.
Apologies.
Well, I feel bad that I put that as an option. So I guess. I don't know. Last question.
We both wanted him to be a criminal.
Yeah, I really did. Last history, question, Jody.
Last question. What are some positive aspects of cicadas? You answered correctly, all the above. So cicadas, they are food for animals and for people, as we mentioned. Natural pruning for fruit trees, because after those branches fall off, it prunes and then there's more flowers the following year. And then for the cicadas coming out of the soil, it provides natural aeration. So it was all the above. Mike, you are the winner.
Well, that was fun.
I know Jonathan was like super nervous. And he probably threw some of those questions in the beginning because he thought it was going to be so easy. So it looked like 69% for Magisticata and like 81%. For Mike, it makes me kind of happy that you guys both didn't get perfect. Cause then I would think like,
oh, get perfect.
Cause I worked hard at trying to like stump you, but then also like, okay, well, I'm glad. Would you like to get on with the content part of the show other than just talking about?
I mean, we've had a lot of content so far. People have been learning. People have been seeing academic decathlon. Were you on the academic team in high school, Mike?
Oh, we didn't. I don't think we had one.
I was on the academic team.
Nerd.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fact.
Sorry.
And the football team, though. So does that like...
Wait, you were in football?
Yeah. So like, does that happen? I was in football for like 2 years. Like
I've never really been on a team.
Aww.
Except that now with this like Microsoft Teams, everybody wants me on their team and I kind of hate it.
I hate teams too. It's awful.
But, you know, what I do love, when I was a camp counselor, when I was in high school, it was when I got my first high five. And I kind of love high fives. Oh, Mike's making a sad face. I know. And I remember telling someone, and they were like, when all the kids were giving me a high five. And I think it was because I was awesome in dodgeball. That's the only time you're actually going to be able to hit some of the kids is with a dodgeball, and they love it. And they were high-fiving me, and it was great. And I didn't even realize how fun it was to be high-fived because I was never part of a team. I was always either like running by myself or, you know, doing individual things. We didn't really do team sports. So I like this team. Don't look all sad at me. I like us.
I feel bad that you said you hadn't had a high five until you hit high school.
I know. Okay, so let's have a discussion about anything that you want to talk about, because now is the time, evidently, in your area, in some places that are going to see the periodical cicada.
Yeah, Mike, have you been getting lots of interview requests about periodical cicadas?
I'm up to 12 or 13 interviews I've done now.
Yeah,
it's on par for like murder hornets last year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would say the same.
I'm all for it. Give me all the interviews. It's great.
I liked one that Jonathan was interviewed for where you said you were like the defense attorney of the cicada.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah,
talk about that one.
She was very upfront with me when she contacted me. She was like, I really am not excited about this. I think that this is awful. And I want you to be on your game. Like, you're going to have to defend these things to me. And I really genuinely thought that she was just kind of joking, because you always have, you know, you talk to people and reporters and they're like, oh, I hate bugs. And you're just like, haha, okay. And then you do the story. But then the way she set it up was very explicit. Like, she was giving me these really pokey questions about cicadas and was like, make it make sense. Make them happy and healthy and whole. And I felt like I was Atticus Finch or something. That's not a one-for-one, obviously. But I was trying to think of another famous defense attorney that's not Saul Goodman. But Atticus Finch was the only one that would pop into my head.
Isn't the last line like, well, at least you're happy, Jonathan Larson?
Pretty much, yeah. That she was going to be lounging by a pool in a bee suit to keep the cicadas away from her, but that she would remember that I was happy. My favorite line of the whole thing was when she said, why are these insects here to ruin my vax girl summer? Which was not a phrase I had heard until that moment. And I want a t-shirt that says, I'm living my vax girl summer to wear in the field for this year.
They're only here for a couple weeks. Like, if you hate them that much, like, blink your eyes and they're gone.
Come to Nebraska. Let's switch places.
Basically, we're all really excited about this, though. I mean, we've talked to reporters. We've all talked to people that aren't excited about what's about to occur over the next couple of weeks in a couple of our different states, at least. But it is important. It's something that's very magical, I think, and kind of wild and wonderful. And it's something that you only really get to see here in the eastern half of the United States. You're not going to see this in other nations. So if you want to know more about it, we're just going to cover some of the basics here today. And I thought we could start with just kind of going off of some of the most common questions that I know I get. And Mike, you can chime in if you've gotten a few different ones. But I know that every interview I've given and every person that's emailed me about this has started with, what is a cicada? What exactly is this insect? What are they related to? Those kinds of things. Mike, do you want to tackle that one?
I get that question sometimes, and sometimes they'll ask me like kind of a similar question, and I'll start with, well, there's two types of cicadas, annual cicadas and periodical cicadas. And I've had some reporters roll their eyes like, well, duh, there's annual cicadas. We know about them. Well, let me back up. There's 170 species of cicadas in North America. Of those, only 7 are periodical cicadas. So when we're talking about periodical cicadas, it's not a huge group. Like of all of the cicadas that we have, all of the other cicadas are annual cicadas. And they're things that you're probably well familiar with, dog day cicadas and other cicada species that typically come out later in the summer, and call from say late July through August or September. And there are some of them that come out every year. So you always hear annual cicadas every year. They take 3 to 4 years as a nymph to grow to the point where they're mature and can come out as adults, but there's some of that population coming out every year. Compared to the periodical cicadas, where they're all underground for 17 years and then all mass emerge all at the same time, and it's earlier in the year. So typically sometime mid or late May through early June, they start coming out. When they emerge depends on the soil temperature. So like the quiz bowl question asked, they time their emergence based on soil temperature, and they come out when the soil reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit.
when people ask me, like, what's a cicada? I'm like, have you ever heard, like, your trees screaming at you? Right?
I guess.
Like, it's weird when people ask like that. Because sometimes, like, I don't know, like, what do you want to know? Do you want to know if they're locusts or not?
Yeah.
Right? So it's a hard question to answer. So, like, all that stuff is good.
Yeah, I guess I kind of...
angle on it is that people sometimes don't know the term cicada. So, Jody, you brought up locusts. Do you call them locusts or do you know anybody that does?
Yeah, everyone calls them a locust. And after reading this book, historical reports is like locust, locust. And it just keeps getting reinforced. Back in the day, they probably didn't know what it is. And it's fun to read like these historical records. In that journal of Reverend Andreas Sandel, like it was like 1715. And he's talking about like singular flies come out of the ground. The English call them locusts. And ever since then, it kind of keeps going forward.
I think it's some nice little etymology. Like it's this weird little verbal tick that we as a nation have. Because if you go other places, I don't think that it's very common for cicadas to be called locusts. But it is here just because we're a lot of us historically in the past with the people that were coming over here as colonizers, they would have been in, right. I think, in places that didn't have big or loud cicadas, at least, is what right. I remember Kritsky saying.
In the Oxford English Dictionary, the word locust, it was used for lobsters, grasshoppers, and mantids, as well as any destructive insect that came out in large swarms.
There you go.
That makes sense. Like,
right?
What else would, like, imagine it's 1705 and all of a sudden a billion insects come out of the ground. Like, what would you equate that to but, like, the biblical locust plague of Egypt?
Deuteronomy told me about this.
Yeah, like, there's no other...
Right.
Point
and it's
reference.
1715. I just want to correct that just in case someone gets their math off.
does he get the points deducted for that?
No, that game is over. But
yeah, I mean, basically what we're saying is that there are cicadas. There are cicadas that come out seemingly every year, despite the fact they're below ground for extended periods of time. There are overlapping generations of them, so we do get to see them every year. Cicadas are their own distinct thing. They're not locusts, which are just sort of angry, teed off grasshoppers that are going around and eating and destroying things. That's its own separate thing. You can read about that in another book if you want to get on an entomology book kick. Get Gene Kritsky's cicada book, but then get Jeff Lockwood's locust book, which is about the, I guess, extinct species of North American locust, right?
Probably extinct. Can we do so?
Possibly.
I'm calling it now. Let's do a Rocky Mountain locust episode at some point.
I think that would be awesome. We definitely, and maybe we can even get Dr. Lockwood on the show or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We can start a Twitter campaign for that.
Did you see, not to derail us, there was a big Twitter thread that Ask an Entomologist did about Rocky Mountain locusts over the weekend?
I didn't see that.
No.
Oh, go back and check it out. It's very, it's very good at summarizing the whole thing. But also, listeners, if you want a quick introduction before we do an episode at some point in the future, search Ask an Entomologist on Twitter. They've got a good thread on it. We should point out that cicadas are true bugs, so they have piercing, sucking mouth parts. And if you didn't know, the nymphs are underground feeding on plant roots, grasses. Some of the annual cicadas are tree roots for other annual cicadas in the periodicals. They do feed as adults a little bit, not very much, not enough to really cause damage, but they do have piercing, sucking mouth parts and can feed on tree sap.
Not a very nutritious diet.
No, that's part of the reason they're underground for so long. Even the annual cicadas take 3 or 4 years. And like Jody put out in the quiz bowl, you know, I forget if it's phloem or xylem, but the nutrient poor one. Yeah, it's got a lot of sugars and like no fats and proteins. So it takes a lot to grow. So it takes forever.
Just like mixing Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew together and drinking it in that only every day for 17 years.
But also you can like squirt out the excess carbohydrates from your butt.
I'm pretty sure that's what would happen if you drank nothing but Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper and nothing else.
That's terrible.
So we've talked about their biology a little bit, talked a little bit about the etymology of the locust name, talked about the differences between annual and periodicals. This is a big deal. It is something that is unique. There are 13-year ones and 17-year ones. We have separated these out into different broods. You may have heard the term Brood X getting bandied about here in 2021. Jody, what does that mean? What is Brood X? Is it a new mutant superhero team in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Sadly, no. That's why I just kept calling them Brood 10, because it's the Roman numeral 10. And they were all named according to when those years should have been. So there should have been like 17 of them. But then there are also 13-year cicadas. I think that's maybe what confuses people too, that there's different species, that there are different years.
So let's talk about the broods a little bit. There are these overlapping broods. There's a couple of really neat things about broods. And I actually did a deep dive into like the primary literature because I revised the Penn State fact sheet about them. So if you look at a map, there's very little geographic overlap between all of the broods. There's some. And there's some places where you'll get 13 years and 17 year cicadas emerging at the same time. And some places where you have different broods emerging at different years, but largely across the country, the broods come together like a jigsaw puzzle. Like they don't overlap a whole heck of a lot. We don't know why. There's some speculation that there might be like underground nymph competition where like the older nymphs of like certain broods can wipe out the nymphs of other broods, like if they're older and get laid later. But we don't know why there's this like lack of geographic overlap and why we don't get like mass periodical cicadas emerging every year all the time. But for a long time, we thought a brood was just this static thing. Like all of them in a brood came out all at one time and that was that. And they don't mix genetically at all. But in the last 5 or 10 years, they've started to sequence DNA from these things and they find that the broods do intermix. There's signs in their DNA that certain parts of certain broods will come out earlier or later. And if they're close enough in geographic range to another brood, they'll just incorporate into that other brood. And so brood really just means now the year that they emerge in and not distinct genetic population.
So it's like a class reunion, right? Yeah. Like when they say like class of like 2021, it'll be like these guys and gals coming out this year, right? It's like when you expect to see them, but then they could also, you know, show up or graduate at a different time, like early or late.
You have some that are called stragglers that appear after the year that they were supposed to. When I was in Nebraska, I remember Jody going out to the forest and trying to look for some 1 and 2 year stragglers that were popping up in the small little Omaha population.
Yeah. I found one 4 years later.
Okay.
Which was super weird. But they didn't sing. They just kind of hung out. Like they didn't have the protection and satiation ability on their own.
I think it is weird. And like Kentucky in particular, since I've been reading through this year, there's a lot of people that have asked questions about where it's going to happen. And if you look at the last reports, there were only about 16 counties in 04 that reported having them. But then if you look at some of the other broods that we expect in the state, the one that's going to come out in 2025, I think it's brood 19, if I'm remembering correctly, and the state, it's maybe 14. If I'd have to look, Roman numerals always confuse me after they've been sitting in my head for too long. It does fit together like a jigsaw puzzle, just like Mike was saying. There are these two counties that go up into the brood X expected counties that are a part of this other brood, and it's where Fort Knox is actually. So they know that the brood, that this other brood emerges there, and it is weird like to have that kind of headwaters space, I guess, where they're mixed together, but they are separate in some ways. We weren't really expecting them in Fayette County, but we were digging around outside our house and we found two cicada nymphs that were at the level of the soil where it would be like if they were coming out, but they didn't look quite ready. They didn't look fully formed, I guess I would say. Like they didn't look like they were at the right instar. I don't know if they're early. I don't know if they're just checking things out. It was kind of weird. I'm going to pay close attention to my backyard here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's cool. It is brood 14.
14, thank you.
2025, yeah. And I can see the map. It's just so interesting to me. And I mean, it's like, it's all about the glaciers of why they're only in the northern part. And then like the 13 year or more southern, they're all like east of the Rocky Mountains. And so like for our brood out here in Nebraska, it's like the Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa, Missouri, pretty sparse and scattered. It's not like, I mean, I think the reason why brood 10 is just so huge is because it's such a huge brood and covers such a large area. And then some of those major cities that you have there, right? Like for us even, it's still hard to find them because they're kind of out in the country. So
yeah, I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't mention that C.L. Marlatt that helped develop these. Like he was a pioneer in entomology. He was a really cool early entomologist in the early 1900s who helped to conceptualize some of the plant and invasive species type information that we have, who helped to fight against and set up some of the legislation that protects us from invasive species to this day. He had a lot of, what would you put, say, pushback on that, I guess, from the nursery industry in the early 1900s, because he was trying to restrict the importation of certain things. But he was also really interested in these cicadas. And it's evidenced by, if you go to his home, his former home in Washington, D.C., there are cicadas carved into the heads of the posts on all of his railing on the upstairs part of his home.
Oh, that's cool. I was going to say, Jody got it a neat thing with the glaciation and how periodical cicadas are in just Eastern North America. There's been, again, some genetic work that's been done, and they estimated that, so there's seven species, three 17 year and four 13 years. But one of those 13 year cicadas has a really small distribution. So you could think of it as three and three. And the three major lineages split from each other between 3 and 5 million years ago, and then just persisted. And then it was only in the last 400 to 500,000 years that each lineage split into 13 year and 17 year species. So it's not that the 13 year species are closely related to each other. It's that the 17 year and 13 year species each form these species pairs that each three times independently split from each other and formed 13 and 17 year species. And all of that happened in the last couple hundred thousand years when the last set of major glaciation events happened. So we don't know for sure, but we think that those speciation events are tied to glaciation because they were just hanging out as like what would be three species, three lineages for multiple millions of years before these glaciation cycles happen. And then all three independently split into 13 and 17 year species, with the 17 years being restricted to the north and the 13 years being more southern. Really cool history and biogeography going on.
It takes a lot of research to accomplish that sort of fact finding, I would assume.
Did anyone see the Scientific American article that was tweeted by the Entomological Society of America today?
Did not.
The title is "The Woman Who Solved a Cicada Mystery But Got No Recognition." So I would like to recognize her right now. Her name is Margareta Hare Morris. And it says that discovered that the hordes of chirping insects that will emerge en masse this spring come in more than one species. So she's not in any of the history books, but she had observed the singing of cicadas in 1817 and again in 1834. And it wasn't until she was like at age 49 that she felt confident enough to announce that it was the discovery of the new species. And so those two that are the same size that sing differently. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to her since I hadn't heard of her. And I think that it's always important to recognize people that have contributed to our science.
Yeah, we need to put her right in there with Marlatt and the others when we talk about this for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't know.
The last line here, it just said, "So when you hear that shrill cicada sound this spring, whether you find it obnoxious or wondrous, know that there was a wily 19th century scientist named Margareta Morris who was entranced by the mystery of these creatures. She would have awaited the emergence of the 17-year cicadas with glee."
Aw.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good ender. Good clincher.
So you mentioned like using historical records to figure out when and where the periodical cicadas have been emerging. There was, I heard an interview with Gene Kritsky, and it may have been on the Ologies podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So this isn't my story, but I'll repeat his story for the sake of our listeners. He's kind of in charge of the Cicada Safari app, which is asking people to go to download it and then go document where these 17-year cicadas are emerging. But it's really the first time, or the last 10 years have been the first time in history that we can really get a great, accurate count of where these cicadas are because of things like citizen science and smartphones and taking pictures of them. And he was relating the story of trying to figure out where these things have been emerging historically based on back to the 1700s, based on newspaper records. You know, maybe they'd be reported, probably, but maybe not. But then as a grad student back in the, I'm sorry, Gene, if you're listening, 60s or 70s, a while ago, and like to figure out where these things are emerging, they just give grad students some gas money and say, okay, go drive around and just listen for them. Like that was the level of technology of the day to figure out like where the broods are and what the limits of them are, just sending grad students out in a vehicle and driving around for a couple of weeks. Whereas now we can have thousands of people in this app taking pictures and getting the most accurate map and figuring out where these things are emerging.
So the United States Department of Agriculture, they collected, like, in 1902, they published a request at the end of some circular that were going out to farmers, and they sent like 15,000 addressed postcards asking for them to return it if the cicada emerged, like, showed up there. And so they did that. They mapped it out in like 1919, and then the last time that it was actually documented by the government was in 1936.
We do endorse the Cicada Safari app. We hope that everybody that's listening will download it and tell your friends about it, and we'll upload any information they can over the course of the emergence here in 2021. It's very helpful. You'll be a part of a national citizen science effort, and you will be contributing to information that will trickle down through the ages. I think Kritsky is the one that talks about how these are the insects that are sort of the mark of history for entomology. Like, these are very weird and interesting bugs because of the way that they emerge and develop. So you'll be a part of something that will echo through the ages, if you will. And it'll be a lot of cool information that'll come out based on this new technology. With that, any final thoughts on the periodical cicadas?
I have one more thing I want to read. Benjamin Banneker, he was a freeborn African-American who taught himself mathematics and astronomy. And he got to observe three consecutive cicada emergences in his time. The quote that I like the best, "I like to forget to inform that if their lives are short, they are merry. They begin to sing or make noise from first they come out of the earth till they die. The hindermost part rots off, and it does not appear to be any pain for them, for they continue on singing till they die."
But he's right. It is a very poetic life. It may be short, but it is sweet. It's full of music and love. They are underground for 17 years, and they get to come out in this big burst of dancing and singing and mating and death. It's almost gothic in its poeticness, I think. So I hope that you'll go out and enjoy it this summer. It's something you can do socially distanced. It's something that you can do outside in the open fresh air if you'd like. And it's weird and wonderful and noisy. And if you're in any of the states that are experiencing the emergence, I hope that you'll take advantage of the opportunity to see the great Eastern brood come out. If you want to listen to us while you're out walking around and looking for cicadas, I would encourage you to go to arthro-pod.blogspot.com. You can find the show there. You can find us on all of your favorite podcatcher apps. If you can subscribe or rate us on those, it does help other people to find the show. We would greatly appreciate it. If you want to find any of the hosts individually on Twitter, I'm at Bugman John.
I'm at Jody Bugsby, UNL.
I'm at mscarola36.
We thank you for tuning in. Join us again here in a couple of weeks for Napoleon Part 3.
It's time for our insect heroes to put away their nets and pheromone traps. Join us next time, same bug time, same bug channel, as the Arthropod Gang make the world safe from poor insect podcasts. Until then,
keep on bugging.
Welcome back to real life. I hope your feelings aren't hurt and that you learned something.
I'm so angry, Jody. I'm going to stomp off and I don't know.
Please, no, stop. Don't.
How are you going to mail his bourbon to him?
What? There was bourbon for a reward?
That was my joke Saturday night, was that we were going to, that whoever won would get a bottle of bourbon with cicadas at the bottom.
Oh, that's right.
Well, how am I going to find some cicadas to put in the bourbon?
Museum collection.
Ew, it'd be so dry.
Yeah. We should interview the cicada.
It just screams.